organized around here well enough to get this done. But you heard the choir sing, "Let All the People Sing." Right? In the song, there's also "Let Everybody Sing," all this stuff about singing. I was just looking at Revelation, and decided I want to preach about singing today. But I didn't give that notice to Martin. Nevertheless, the Spirit worked it out. When we start, when the brave souls who do the book study, the Bible studies on Revelation, when we do that every once in a while, I collect like 5 pages of quotes from Revelation and read them at the beginning. And it's sort of a bait and switch kind of thing, but it's all of the beautiful hymnody that comes from Revelation. Every time somebody in heaven starts singing, those are the passages that I read. And there's like 5 pages of them, typewritten pages. So what happens in Revelation is a lot of singing. And the text that we read, that was read today, and also the song that we sing, the hymn of praise that we sing, it comes right from the 5th chapter of Revelation. And it's this beautiful thing. And the context of the song is that John the seer goes up to heaven, and all of a sudden there's this scroll that appears, and this scroll is really important. We aren't told exactly what it is, but it's really important. It's basically like the meaning of life. Mm-hmm. Why are we here? Right? And unfortunately, there's 7 seals. Thank you. There's 7 seals. That are keeping the scroll closed. And we can't get through to see the scroll because the seals got it sealed, shut. It's shut. And someone is saying, who's worthy to unseal the scroll? And the story is, they look everywhere, high and low, all over, and nobody is worthy to take the scroll and open it. And then somebody said, and John the seer starts to weep because he's like, I know this is really important, but no, we can't get to it. And so an angel says to him, don't worry, the Lion of Judah is coming. And he's like, okay, the Lion of Judah, this is good. But instead of a lion showing up, a lamb who has been slaughtered shows up. And then all of a sudden, all of heaven starts to sing. Ah, the Lamb is worthy of unrolling the scroll. Right? It's the Lamb, the one who is slain, the suffering, the one who has suffered. He is worthy to unpack the scroll, to open it up for us. Beautiful stuff. And then there's all of this singing. The singing, it seems to me, in Revelation, and in all of the scripture, and in this place, and in every other place like it, is first of all, it's praise of God for what God has done and what He's doing. And second, it is orientation for us. So that when we're singing to God, we are being oriented towards God. And we are being encouraged, and we are being invited into being actually the most human that we can be. Why do I say that? I say that because remember in the beginning, in Genesis, when God creates human beings out of mud, and they're just laying there, they look like human beings, but they're not really alive, and God breathes breath into them, right? God breathes the Spirit of God into human beings. And now, everything that we do is like we're breathing in the breath of God, and in singing, we're breathing in the breath of God, and we are returning this beautiful, beautiful sound back to God. So every time people are singing, when the choir was singing today, I was just thinking, they're breathing in Jesus, the breath of God, and they're breathing out beauty to God. It's like the quintessential human thing that we can do. And it is so important. So, I was thinking about different places of singing. The first one I want to talk about is years and years ago, Virginia and I were married, but had no kids, and there was a situation in North Carolina And I think all of you would agree with Regina and I on this one. What happened was this chemical company in New Jersey had created something, whatever they were creating, but the byproduct of what they were creating was this incredible poison. All right? And they took this poison and they dumped it into the ground, and then they had to get rid of it. So they loaded it up in dump trucks and had the dump trucks driven down I-95, and they dumped it on the side of the highway in North Carolina at night.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. It was a big wow. It was discovered. So North Carolina, basically, it's no longer New Jersey's problem. You know, they don't mark the soil made in New Jersey. They don't do that. So we didn't know. So there they were, and they had to do something with it. So the state of North Carolina went through this big process of finding the safest place to put this poisonous soil. Had to be far away from the water table, you know, all the things that they were thinking about. And they found lots of really good places, except lots of all the good places that they were. There were rich people that lived there, and they resisted. So then they found another place, which was the worst place. It was like towards the coast, the sand, nothing but sand between itself, between the surface and the water table. But it was the poorest county and the blackest county in North Carolina, Warren County. So, of course, where they decided to put the dump, right there, Warren County. And they thought they would get no resistance. But people gathered. And Virginia and I were there among lots and lots of people there over weeks. And at one point, Virginia and I found ourselves lying under the wheels of a dump truck to stop it from going. And we got arrested, and a whole bunch of busloads of people.
Good job.
Yeah. I thought people would agree with me on this one. So anyway, so we all get whisked off to the Warren County Jail. And for some reason, I was the first one processed. And after they processed me, they said, "Okay, you can go." So I walked out. I walked out of jail. But after me, they kept everybody else. And I was like, "Hey." But here's the thing. So Virginia is in jail, and it's for the night. You know, all these people were there. She comes out afterwards, and it's like, whoa, it was the most amazing thing. We get in there, and people start singing. And I mean, we're talking about singing, right? Just right from the bottom of their souls, singing songs of resistance, song of hope, songs of encouragement, all these songs, right? And it was like, oh, I missed it. So I could have been in jail. Right? Okay. But the point of that is that this singing is like, it brings the resistance. It brings hope. It brings inspiration. Right? And it's that's what singing is. And it oriented everybody there. And it's like, you know, when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, they sang a song of triumph because God had triumphed, and they had triumphed, and Warren County, we didn't triumph. The dump was there, but nevertheless, there was this sense of it was so important that people sang. So, in situations such as that, where we need courage and we need encouragement and we need inspiration, also there are times when we just need healing. Right? So. Years and years ago again, when my best friend killed himself, and it was like probably the darkest time of my life, I heard a lot of counseling, I heard a lot of good, wise people talking to me and everything. But one day, a fellow seminarian came, and he said, "I need to talk to you." And I said, "Okay." He said, "No, I don't need to talk to you. I need to sing to you." And he sang a Balm in Gilead. Like a single solo. It was Kerry Riley. He's a friend of Lars as well. And he just plunked me down, and he sang this incredible song with this amazing voice. And all of the wisdom and stuff, it was nothing compared to what that song did in terms of echoing into my heart. So in this place of grief, it is the singing that brings healing. Just beautiful. And not just personal healing. Now, some of you know this story, but it's such a good story, I have to tell it anyway. So when Esther Riggs, a former member here, and Gene Sanderson and I went to Nicaragua, we stayed with in a bed and breakfast place, and the owners of that were these two older women, man and woman, a couple. And the man of that couple was a troubadour, and he knew every song of every national song of Nicaragua. And he would sing, and he was a little bit older, but he still had his powerful voice, and he had his guitar. And so we're out on the porch, and he's given us a concert of all of these beautiful songs, you know. And he's explaining them as we go, and it's great. And this is in the middle of Nicaragua is just a big mess. They had a revolution. Then there was a counter-revolution, the Contra War. You might have heard of it. And anyway, it was in shambles. And this man, he'd been so hopeful about things in Nicaragua, and he's singing these songs, and he's singing his heart out, and it's really clear that it's like, I just have to keep singing these songs until I believe them. And in the meantime, what's her name? What was her name?
Irene.
She's the wife. And she's telling her husband, Gene sings. and he says, pussy is like, well, yeah. But I ain't got time for that. I'm trying to save my soul here. Mm-hmm. And he's singing. And she tells him again, and he says, see, and he puts his guitar down. Gene goes, gets her music, comes back. And she starts singing. And she starts singing, Be Thou My Vision. And she's singing, and I can't remember his name either.
I think it was Luis.
Luis is, he's putting the guitar down, and he's pretty clear that this woman who cackles when she laughs is probably not going to be much of a singer. We all have that reaction at first. Anyway, there she is, and she starts to sing Be Thou My Vision. And his eyes get this big. And he looks at his wife, Lee. He says, soprano. And he's singing this. And when she's done singing, Louise stands up, and I'm sitting between he and Jean, around the table. And he says, I have to get to her. And he walks right between me and the table, right? And he squeezes right past me. And he gives her this huge hug. I have to hug her. And he gives her this huge hug. And then he says, tell her, she's brought beauty to my country. We have suffered so much. Thank you for bringing beauty back. Song. This is why we sing. It is why we gather to sing to God. God has given us this amazing gift. Some of us he's given it in a nice way. Some of it, not so much. But here's the thing. When I used to think about heaven being boring as could be. Why? Not just boring, excruciating. Because it was all about singing. And I can't sing. It's like, oh. So I got healed of that by going in North Carolina. Ordinations used to happen at the Synod Assemblies. And there were like 500 people there and a bunch of pastors. And we'd all go in on a Friday evening and do ordination services for the new pastors coming in. And all of the old pastors, we would just gather together. And my first time doing that, I'm sitting right in the middle. And there's like two rows. I'm talking about long rows of pastors, and there's ahead of me and two behind me, and I'm right in the middle of the row, and I'm ready to do what I always do, which is to mouth the words, know the words. I like the words. I just can't sing them. And then these guys start singing, and the whole congregation starts singing. But you know, most Lutheran pastors can sing, and it was stunning. I mean, it was just amazing to be in the middle of that. So that I was like, okay, I'll sing. Even if I'm off key, I'll sing. And I found myself singing, and then I realized that I was on key because these people, their voices were so, intense, thank you, that's the word. They're so intense and so strong that they just carried my voice. And I actually found myself, oh, wait a minute. Hey, I can be a part of this, right? And not only that, but not just that this is really good, but this feels right. This is like, woo, okay, if heaven feels like this, I'm in. Well, I mean, you know what I mean. I hope to be in, right, there. Yeah, first time I ever hoped to be there. And, actually, I was in heaven, because that's what heaven is, right? And this is like, you guys, we're not just looking at getting to heaven. It is like heaven is coming to us, right? And that's what the singing does. There we are. So, I want to say to all of you who have articulated to me and to others that you come to church to sing, right? To sing to God. This is really how important this is and how powerful it is. And I want to say to y'all, you're right. We are in gathering and singing, we are being trained into the kingdom of heaven. We are being trained into it. We are enacting it. And it's beautiful. And I also want to tell you that it's you are actually training others as well. So, I get to talk about my grandson, because here's the thing. Singing and music is so important to him. Right? In the months before Advent, Papa, when do we get to sing O Come, O Come, Emmanuel? Right? And then, during Advent, he's like, when do we get to sing Joy to the World? It's only a few more days, and we get to sing Joy to the World. And during Lent, he's like, okay, when do we get to sing Jesus Christ is Risen today? Right? And he's got his playlist, and on the playlist is all this other stuff, which is, you know, I don't know, even know most of it, but right in there is all of these things, all of these songs that he knows from you all, right? And those songs reverberate in him. It always has been that way with him, because I used to sing, come and fill our hearts with your peace to him, putting him down when he was a baby. And then when he was about 3, they came here and moved here, and I put him down in a crib, and I sang that song again, and he went to sleep, and he woke up in the morning, not in the morning, but after his nap, and I went up to get him, and he says to me, Papa, that song. And I said, yeah, do you know that song? I think I do. And it's because I had sung it to him when he was a baby. He knew that. It was in him. Right? And it's in us. The songs of heaven are in us. And thanks be to God, we get to gather and to sing them together. And I want to thank you all for that. What a gift. And those of us who are appreciators, we appreciate that we get to gather in and sing with you. And it is rich, and it is beautiful, and it brings praise to God. It orients us to the God in whom we put our trust. It gives us courage. It gives us hope to face whatever comes.